It's in His name we pray. Amen. At night, when you need to see, you turn on the lights. Maybe a candle, flashlight, electrical powered lights. They all give us clear direction in the darkness. Yet when the day arrives, when the sun is up and it's shining, we can see clearly without any other source of light. To go outside and turn on the flashlight would be kind of a silly, ridiculous thing, because standing outside in the sun, the light from the flashlight would not even be visible. The greater overshadows the lesser, as if it didn't even exist. Well, in the same way, when we talk about love, we may talk about a husband's love for his wife, or the wife's love for the husband, or the parents' love for their children. But when all of these earthly relationships come into the light of God's love for the church, when all of these relationships come into the light of the love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of these earthly love relationships are swallowed up. Just like the flashlight shining in the sunlight, our love for family, our love for church, our love for one another becomes as nothing compared to the love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and their love for you, the church. The psalmist says, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your love, O Lord, is abounding." It would be easier to measure all the drops of water in all of the bodies of water, the lakes, the oceans, the river. It would be easier to measure all the drops of water in the earth than it would be to measure the length and the width and the depth of God's love for you. The Apostle John, in seeking to describe the source and the fountain of all love, says, "God is love. We love, we are capable of loving because God is love. Because He loved us first. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." If you were in your house and you smelled smoke, you would want to go search out and find the source of that fire, the source of that smoke. When you are enjoying the love relationship of family and church and friends, you need to ask, where does this love come from? My ability to love, the ability of others to love me, where does this love come from? Well, the source of all earthly love is found between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The psalmist again says, "The earth is filled with your love, O Lord." The love that exists between the three persons of the Godhead is a love that is above all loves and is the source of all love. Every kind word, every pure thought, every good deed is a manifestation of the love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have seen a waterfall, and you see that the water comes off the cliff and the water lands in a specific space. But yet, to the right and to the left, the vegetation is soaked. It is soaked in water God directs His love to the church. But yet, the entire creation, the entire world, is the beneficiary of God's love. The target of God's love is the church. It is you. But the beneficiary is the entire world. The entire world is saturated with the love of God. And that love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is demonstrated to us in the fact that God the Father gave God the Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. The Apostle John says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. The Greek translation here of the phrase, "how great," it occurs only 6 times in the New Testament. And every occasion, it implies astonishment. What the Apostle John is writing is that he is astonished at this great love that the triune God has for the church. In John 3:16, God so loved. The term "so" here means in this way. In other words, God demonstrated His love, His great love, the depth and the width and the length of His love in this way. And what is that way? That He gave His only begotten Son to die for you. In Genesis, we find the story of Joseph and Benjamin, two brothers, and their father Jacob. There was a famine in the land, and the other sons of Jacob wanted to take Benjamin to Egypt with them in order to get grain, to get food, so that the entire family of Jacob would survive. The scriptures talk about Benjamin in such a way that he was a favorite of Jacob. And Jacob said this in response to his other sons wanting to take Benjamin away. He says, "If harm comes to him, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow." Jacob loved Benjamin so much that to lose him would cause Jacob to die of a broken heart. Jesus Christ was the Benjamin of God the Father. If you want to get a grasp on the width and the depth and the length of God's love for you, understand that God the Father sent His Son to spiritual Egypt in order that God's family would be spared. And as the scriptures talk about Jacob's sons, it reminds us of the relationship of God the Father with God the Son. He was His son. His only Son, the love of His soul, His other self. The Scriptures call Jesus the image of the living God, that God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell within Him. He is the favored Son. He was a child after God's own heart. But yet the Father sent Him away in order that the other children of God would be spared. Consider to what circumstances the Father gave His Son over to. I've got two sons, and I always want the best for them. And what parent would not want the best for their children? You even get upset at times when you think, well, I can't provide what I think would be best for the children. Yet God the Father did not give His Son over to that which was best. He gave Him over to be despised and rejected of men. He gave Him over to the shame and sorrow of death on a cross. The Father gave to the Son that which was full of pain and sorrow and humiliation. The Father gave to Him to be pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. He became cursed. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The Father made His Son to be a curse for us, to be the scorn and contempt of others. God made Him who had no sin to be counted sin for you. It was the Lord's will to crush Him, to cause Him to suffer. The Father gave to the Son the most excruciating suffering that was ever inflicted upon any individual. People who die and go to hell, they suffer for their sins. But there on the cross, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Son, suffered for all of our sins, for the sins of the church. As the Scriptures say, the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Therefore, His suffering was an infinite suffering. It breaks our heart to see our children grimacing in pain when they get hurt or get sick. Yet our God beheld His Son, His only Son, struggling under the agonies of hell. Those agonies that none had ever felt before, nor will ever feel again. He saw Him falling to the ground, groveling in the dust, sweating blood, drops of blood in the midst of His agonies. He turns to His Father and cries out, "Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me." How many of you would stand by if your child was crying out in pain? How many of you would stand still and just let it happen? No, we would want to rush in and keep it from happening. But the Father, you need to hear this. But God the Father, out of love for you, out of love for you, He restrained Himself and He let His Son be delivered over to the torments of hell. And surely then that love that made the Father deliver His Son over to such miseries is a great love. It's a great love. Also consider that the Father gave the Son over to death, not for the angels, not for His friends, not for the righteous, not for the pure, not for the holy. God the Father gave God the Son over to death for His enemies, those who despised Him. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "When we were God's enemies, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God didn't wait for you to get your life in order. He didn't wait on you. No, He sent His Son out of love for you. He sent His Son to die for you in order that you may be brought to God. Who of us would allow our child to suffer for even our most dearest friend? Yet God gave His Son over to death for us, great sinners. Therefore, in closing, I want you to consider the abundant love that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has for you. Since the Father loved the Son with an infinite love, the Father now will never reject those whom His Son has died for. You have been bought, and you will be kept. As Paul writes to the Romans, he says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He now reject us? Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once we have been bought, now we will be kept." Quickly think. When did God begin to love you? When did God begin to love you? The answer is, He never began to love you. He has always loved you. Even before the creation of the world, in the eternal, unchanging mind of the triune God, from all eternity past, He said, "I'm going to love you and I will redeem you." He never began to love you because He always has loved you. Oh, the width and the depth and the length of God's love for His people. Though we be great sinners, we have a great Savior. A great Savior who will never leave us nor forsake us. My friend, as we prepare to come to this table, think about the great love that is shared between the triune God, and that they wanted to share that love with you. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for that love that will never let us go. We thank You that You are always faithful to us, that You keep Your covenant of love with us, even though we are great sinners. Yet, Christ died for us. Oh, Father God, through Your Holy Spirit,